Okay, today's daf is Daf Nun. And we've been, if you remember, the Mishnah was talking about firstly, the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. If someone says, Hareya at Mutar Lekol Adam, if you like, Elalish Ploni, or Chutzmish Ploni, like excluding an individual, whether that works or not. Chachamim said, absolutely not. It has to be a full Kritut. Rabbi Eliezer, said it can be. And then it can work. So what we then saw that after Rabbi Eliezer passed away, there were Arba's Kenim came to try and deliberate or argue with Shittat Reb Eliezer, but unfortunately had passed away already. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, so there were Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Yosef Gleri, Bitar from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yeshua says it's not appropriate to start arguing with it because all your arguments, if you remember, we said last time, he was an Ari, he was a huge Talmid Chacham, and he probably would have to respond. Nonetheless, we saw last year was really the approach and direction of Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, that it would be effectively a Tnai al Masha Kutuba Torah. And that's how he says, if you allowed it, if it worked, you'd end up being a Tanai Masha Ketuba Torah. And that's how we ended the shiur, that whole Mahalach. Here we have now the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi clearly says, Hecha Matinu B'Torah Ha'asura Laseh. Where do you have in the Torah that you can have a situation where it's Mutar to one and Asur to the other? Okay? Ele must be Asur Lechad, Asur Lekol Adam. Mutar Lechad, Mutar Lekol Echad. So I'll just explain here. Rabbi Yossi Glili, this is a tshuva. Pnei Moshe says this tshuva al dibrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'chi matinu b'Torah asur la zemutera. Ela vaday im asur la poni asur la kol adam. Meaning, soon it's impossible to have. In other words, if she's going to be asur to this chutz so and so, then she'd be asur to everybody. It has to be sort of this parity, if you like, across the board. Now it's interesting that the Bavli actually rejects this because you do see contexts like Ariot and things like that where somebody's mutar the one and asur to the other, but nonetheless that's the way the Yerushalmi presents the position. Hashiv Rabbi Akiva, however, this is where it gets a bit more difficult. Haya zeh she'ne'asar lav kohen. Let's say this individual she was asur to, the one that was excluded from the first divorce, is a kohen, and then the husband's umet ha-megaresh, and the person who the divorced passes away. Lo nimtza, doesn't it then now appear that this lo nimtza almana lezu ugrushu lekol echad v'kohanim? This might answer your question you asked last time, Rabbi Yisrael, after the shir. He asked, but one second, does that continue after he passes away? Well, what we're learning here is that the miut would just make her not a grush, making sounds like the person who was excluded, this ploni. Okay, even though according to Rabbi Eliezer says you're divorced from everyone except for ploni, if he passes away. With respect to him, this Ploni should be considered a widow, so obviously be mutar to marry him. But with the other brothers now, should be considered a divorcee. But what's really interesting here, if we're dealing with Kohanim, so you've got all these brothers. One of them was the one excluded. This woman now, for all the other brothers, well, she's a divorcee. She was mutar l'kol adam, and she's asked her to marry all the brothers. But this individual, this Ploni. Because he was never included, he was the excluded from the divorce. With respect to him, she will be considered almana, and a kohen's allowed to marry an almana. So it's interesting here. We're going to explain it like the Korban Eder. According to Ribaz says this is really according to Rabbi Kiva's following the same time of rationale as Rabbi Yosef Glili. They get this bizarre situation. You've got a few brothers, they're all kohanim, and this woman is considered a almanah to one of them and a grusha to the rest of them. She can marry one, can't marry the others. Okay, that's kind of the way he explains it. However, the way the Korban Eder explains it, we're going to explain it like him. He actually continues based on the Tosefta. So you consider Gishino Girsa on the side. V'chi b'maich mira Torah grusha or almana. Which is more machmir in the Torah? A grusha or an almana? Now, quite clearly, we know that a chmira Torah but grusha yotar min almana. We know quite clearly that the Torah is more machmir the grusha and almana. Why? Because a grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen, but an almana is. Quite simple. That's the chumrah, if you like. When it comes to Kohen Gadol can't marry an almana. Fine, but we're talking about in terms of just let's look objective. Look at the two. So now we can build out a kal vachomer comparing almana and grusha. Now here it's this little piece that the Korban Eder goes according to the Tosefta. So you can look at the gears on the side. Ma almana kala ne'esra min hamutar la mitzad gerushin. So it's important to understand here. This is built, if you like. On I think the way to understand this whole kal vachomer is built on the disparity between this Ploni and his brothers, and in this context. So just as almana kala ne'esra min hamutar la mitzad gerushin sheba, so to grusha chamura einu nin she'asa min hamutar la mitzad eshet ish sheba. Okay, that's the reading of the Tosefta, Chen Perush Tosefta, and I'll show you here in the Korban Eder. It says, Hachi Berushma, hichmira tor begrusha, We saw that's the first point we established. It was very clear that a grusha is considered more chamor or more strict in terms of the ability to bury a coin compared to an almana. The kavachomehu uma almana. Let's look again the perspective just of the brothers. And again, I think it's important to understand this is built on the disparity between the brothers and him. So we're just looking at the brothers' perspective. The kavachomehu uma almana hakala. She is effectively an almana. But is asu l'kol achav hakohanim mitzad gerushin sheba, but because she was divorced first, the gerushin that's there makes her asu to marry the other brothers. The other brothers are not allowed to marry a grusha. Clear? Fine. Okay. Shemitchil atir l'kol adam, because initially it was a good divorce for everybody except for this plony. Grusha chamura, if that's the case, still in the brothers, grusha which is mochamur, if that's the case, when they're looking at her being divorced now, she shouldn't therefore be married, allowed to marry anyone mitzad eshet ish, because there's still a tzad eshet ishaba as a result of she's the shiur, if you like, that this plony is still she's asked to marry him because of that. Meaning eshet should deshavak leponisha asara love. Okay, so what's the Kal Vachomer built out? The Kal Vachomer built out, again, we're just looking at the brother's perspective here, and it seems to be built on this disparity, that just as the fact that the Girushin that applied to them, if you like, because she was Murgesh L'Kol Adam, is still present despite the fact she became an almana after the fact, she's still defined as a Grusha, makes us to marry to him. So too, when you look at the Girushin as well, the first stage Girushin, it should be that because of the Tzad Ishut Sheba, meaning it wasn't a full Girushin, because there's still a Tzad Ishut Bat that says she's asked to marry this plony, also should impact this Girushin to say, also be embedded underneath, if you like, to say that it's she's asked to marry anybody. That shouldn't be allowed to marry even though it's so-called a divorce, because there's still a Tzad Ishut Sheba. That's what it sounds like. But it seems to be, it says, the Gemara now says, this is still continuing. It says afilu etz. So it's probably dropped down four lines. It says no afilu etz lo nagam b'gerushin. He says that amra. This is a kal v'chomer prichihi. Why? Digam lo asur. Meaning, again, I'm not exactly sure how this works, but it seems to be that the whole kal v'chomer was built on a disparity between him and the brothers, as a result of again this person after doing this sort of this. Partial divorce, let's call it that, ended up dying. But he says the problem is you viewed it as if that all that impacted the ploni in this situation would that she's an almana, right? Because she wasn't begresha to him. She was asur to him, this ploni. So therefore, to apagav the hilo al almana, mikomakom tzad gerushin sheba asura lo shu kohen. Helka choser din vedin acher. In other words, what we're saying here, he says you got the assumption wrong. Because even to this brother, that technically she was never considered divorced from his perspective, because she was asked to him, because she's a grusha, l'kol adam, she has a shem grusha. And because she has a shem grusha, she'd also be asked to ploni. Because according to the matter, a divorcee, even if it's not a divorcee, respect to him, she's a shem grusha to, in the world, let's say, to the other brothers. So there's no disparity in this. Let's call it the second stage after the husband passes away to this Kohen and his brothers should be considered asur to all of them equally. So we've gone back on that assumption. But if that's the case, that's why he says, Vihilka chazad din acher, you can build up another thing. So again, the Korbanator continues to engage in the Giras Asur. We'll just continue the Korbanator just simply reading it. What's this mean? This is the perish in the Bavli as well. Vachi pirushu. Uma grushashi kala. Amra shidesel mutarla, meaning dilagabe lo have grushun klal. We've just now established that this ploni, she's not considered grusha to him, correct? Because she was the divorce had a shiur, and she was always, even though he gave the divorce atamur kol adam chutz mi ploni, that means she's not divorced with respect to ploni. But nonetheless, we've just established that because she's a divorcee with respect to the others, nonetheless, it should still be considered. Asur, he wouldn't be able to marry her. Okay? Still wouldn't be able to marry her, being a Kohen. But I'll just read it back inside. Again, Asul Mutarla means because technically this Ploni, she wasn't divorced with respect to him, but nonetheless, it's Asul because Hashem Grusha for that, with respect to other brothers. Grushin Klal. It's only the reason why she's asur to, if you like, this ploni, the kohen, is because it's sad girushin that applies to everyone. Ooh, because now you see the shift in focus. Before we're trying to build the kal v'chomer from the perspective of the brothers. Now we're trying to look at the perspective from ploni himself. And you see, with this ploni, really she's only almana, but nonetheless, the tzad girushin that's there with respect because she's considered grusha for the rest of the world still impacts him. And the fact that still impacts him as being a kohen, he can't marry her, you can build to something else. Lo kol sheken sh'tiaseh grusha mitzad eshet isheba. So therefore, I mean, this sounds very similar to what we said before, but again, the vantage point is different. In other words, now we're saying, but listen, that means that also the other brothers should also be impacted by the tzad eshet ish that is still there that impacts ploni. So in other words, we're not working from brothers to brothers, pre and post. We're now working from brother post to, if you like, to brothers, or ploni to brothers, pre, meaning like pre-death, meaning, or not just brothers, but the whole rest of the world. Meaning because, in other words, we've just seen that with respect to the isolated ploni, she's not Megureshet, considered Megureshet to him. Nonetheless, the fact that she's Megureshet, L'Kol HaOlam, still makes her Asur to him to marry as being a Kohen. So too, we should apply the logic for the Isur Eshet, which is even more chamor than a grusha. How so? Meaning, despite the fact that the rest of the world she's considered Megureshet, since there's an Isur Eshet Ish to one individual still in the world, that should really underpin and ruin it for everybody else as well, right? In other words, both situations. Let's abstract it even more. Even though for a particular person it's okay, we've proven that since there's an Isur applying to everybody else, it impacts him. Again, that's the case of the kahuna. He's not the grusha for her, this ploni, but the grusha for the rest of the world therefore impacts him. So to the next layer down as well. It should be for the rest of the world, even though it's considered migresha for all of them, there's still a tzad eshet ish for somebody else, and that should still impact them as well. Okay? That's that rationale. Okay? When you get to that point, I think that part's clear. It's just the first step in the logic. I couldn't see, I explained it with parity and disparity and things, but that's not so crystal clear in my head. Anyway, the Gemara says, Dvar acher. We've got another situation. Where someone says, you are mutar to everybody except for Ploni. And she gets married to somebody else. She abides by the rule. Again, if you want to say this works, again, this is another kashon Rebbe Eliezer, that this whole concept, you're divorced from me, but you're not, with respect to someone, so you'll still be asur. She abides by that and marries somebody else. She marries this Shimon. Okay? And she has children. All met, and then what happens? The second husband passes away. We see for here that she then goes off back and marries this ploni. Meaning the emtza, the second marriage, and now going to be mamzerim. Because it seems to be the assumption is now, if she goes, now this is interesting, because I'm afraid I should explain that this is slightly different to that we've been saying above, but this is not like a chutz, this is almost like an almanat. This is understanding that if she ends up goes and marry the person she's not allowed to marry, it's going to destroy the divorce. So this is what's happened. Chronologically, man says, number one, you're allowed to marry except for Ploni. Let's build maybe build in it a bit more. This is more like an almanat type of thing. And then she goes married someone that has children. So everything's fine. If she goes now, step number three, and marries a third marriage, the person she wasn't allowed to marry, it sounds like it's like almost like ruined the original divorce. That means she was never divorced from husband number one when she married this husband number two and the children she had a mamzerim. That's ridiculous, the Gemara says. So you can't have this almanat. Okay? So it says, V'achani said, Acher to show the Korban Eder, says, Lo nimtza get batel lemafreya. Shema almanat, see, it's quite clear, he's saying it's almanat, shorotinu se laploni, v'nimtza b'nashem b'mamzerim. Okay? Which is, fine. The Gemara now says, Milta Amra, you must be clear then from this, She'ein, change the words, mita materet masha asar rishon. It must be then, now this is different to what we said before, and some of Farshim explained that because before we're talking about it wasn't almanat, it was just chutz, and now this is much almanat, is that we must be clear that for this whole question to even be a question, you're saying that marriage number two, when she dies, if you like, from that marriage, or ends that marriage, it doesn't uproot everything from all the tanaim for number one. In other words, this was a discussion we're having before. That if she was married to number one, and the man says you're allowed to, you're divorced, you're everyone except for so and so, She's married number two. Last year, we saw that if she dies, was divorced from husband number two, all those claim or the, if you like, was a discussion with this death as well. But all those, the any shearing from marriage number one is completely gone. Okay, because once she's married to number two, she's completely married to man number two. And now when he says, "Aret mutar lekola," you're allowed to marry anybody. Here, we're quite clearly saying that if she goes back and marries man number, goes as marriage number three, goes and marries this ploni, it's going to make children from number two mamzerim must be that the t'nai, if you like, from marriage number one endured past marriage number two. So it's against what we just said. So Amar Rav Shammai, Matzino Isha Betchila Ein Chayv Yom Mishum Erva, Ubasof Chayv Mishum Erva, which is also interesting. What's happening now? He says that, I'll just read the comment, Lamanda Mita, in other words, if you want to say Mita's not Materet, in other words, if you want to say that Mita's not Materet, okay, which is what we just said, that we just said that after marriage number two and dies, it seems to be that it doesn't undo all the time. There's original time for marriage number simple and Jew. He says that's ridiculous as well, because what's going to happen? He says, so what's going to happen is, what's strange is, not only are true, this is similar to what we just said, but let's say once again, it was Chutzmi Ploni, okay? And she married man number two and then dies and then goes marries this Ploni. What that will mean is, when she married husband number two, was she allowed to? Absolutely, wasn't anything wrong with her. She was Mutar Lekol Adam. Now she goes and marry number three. If you say Mita's not muteret, when she goes and marries back to Ploni, it means the original get wasn't a good get, and it was a Nisa Ariot. And again, once again, that seems like a kasha to say. So how can someone, she was allowed to marry him and she was completely mutar, and then I'm afraid it's no good. Okay? But the Gemara says, actually, that's not such a kasha, because you can get things like this. Amar le Rama, leman es domer. He says, Lechad Ploni. In other words, you can have that. You can have that with tnaim. You can have certain things that it's asur becomes mutar. Well, hitzul is really mutar becomes asur. But he brings example of asur mutar. What's the case? This case is, he says, I'm divorcing you on condition that you go ahead and have a relationship with Ishploni. Right? But she has to go and do so. Now, in order to be divorced. How so? Initially, is she allowed to have a relationship with this individual? No. Because she's not divorced unless she has a relationship. It's like a catch-22. That's the second way of explaining. Another understanding is Chachamim say you're not allowed to, because we don't want to because the Rav Chachamim didn't want this despicable practice that makes appearance like I'm giving you my wife, we're trading wives. Right? So either it's a gzera or mikra din. She has to have the relationship in order for the condition to be chal. So in the instance, is she allowed to have a relationship with this individual? Absolutely not. If she avar of ba'al and she goes ahead and does so, then who dar I get? I'm afraid. Then the t'nai of the get will be fulfilled, and it will mean a relationship with this individual who is the subject of the t'nai would have been a mutar relationship. Okay? So it was a catch-22 in the beginning, but once it's set, it was asur to do so, but ironically, once she has a relationship, the get is chal and it was mutar. So that's what he says. So you can see, he says you can have these things that the Isur or Mutar can be affected, l'mafreya. Okay? Fine. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he de Rabbi Shimon gomer, Olam einu get ad shiomar b'shat matana harei ze gitech. So once again, this is referring to if he says to a woman, sorry, one second. Just jumped in front of me. Let's continue. Sorry. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Shimon Lazar, and this refers to the case, if you remember previously we learned, where he says, take this chov, take this loan document. And she takes it, oh, it's a get. We say, no, he has to take it back, and it's to give her it and say, Haret Muter Lekol Adam. Now, this is a matzah machlokah between Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rebbe. This is important for now, because Rebbe understands he doesn't have to give it to her and say it. If it's in her hand, he can simply say, Haret Muter Lekol Adam, it's sufficient. So this is Rabbi Yochanan saying, Halacha to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, you have to. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha says b'shem Rav, af reach a get ein pasul ein ba. So this, what this is referring to, this is if it says you're divorced according to everyone except for so and so, Chachamim say that's no good, right? It's a whole discussion was trying to understand or challenge the position of Rabbi Eliezer that says that it would work. Now we're saying quite clearly, Chachamim says no good. But not only is it no good, it's not even a reach a get. If you remember, reach a get means that even though it's pasul, we say that she's still a pasul, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Okay, that it has some sort of effect, let's call it a minor, minimal effect in whatever reason it is, that even though she's not really divorced, she wouldn't be, it should be considered a grusha, not a marriage kohen. Okay, here, ain't racha gibbol, bichlal no, it's nothing. Okay, such a tnai almanat, the chutz mi ploni, doesn't work. Not even a get. So Gemara says, kana mar zoto meret. Now, for this piece, I didn't really understand the Korban Eda, so we're going to explain according to the Pnei Moshe. I know it goes against our rules, but I've done this a few times in the Masechta. It was probably, I think, the second time, but I was just really stuck in the Korban Eda. But let's continue. So Reb Yaakov Ba'acha says, b'shem Reb Yanai, af reach psul ein ba. He's bringing a proof that it doesn't even a reach again. Why? Sorry. Rav Kana amar zoto meret lo chashu. Lo chashu means there's no reach get. Okay, they weren't concerned for this get whatsoever. Because in tema chashu, if he was concerned that we're choshish for such a get, ad shu biyada da amar la hare muter la kol adam. So let me read the Pnei Moshe. He says zoto meret matnitin shamin anzu de lo chashu ba chachamim klal vafilu mishum reach psul. Not nothing. Like in our case where he says almanah. De in tema chashu if you think we're choshish le psul kuna imken nitina mikara. Mikra mikara, sorry, l'inyam psul kuna. That means if there were choshesh to make it considered, have an effect to make a reach get, that means the netina has some significance. And if it has some significance, that means the husband did what's called a netina. And if he's done a netina, atru be'adad amar la, meaning kolomar la fi zeh mai tzarich l'to, why has to take it back? He's achieved the netina. He's done a netina. It's been had halachic significance. So he can simply say now, hooray, muter l'kol adam. Okay? So that's the rationale number one. Okay? Now it's important to understand this is again a quantitative Rebbe that doesn't have to say it at the handing over. As long as it was a netina, a real netina, he can simply say, muter l'kol adam. However, Rav Acha says, no, the opposite. Zot omer shechashu, that it's quite the opposite. That there were choshesh in tema lo choshesh, because if you say there weren't choshesh, so there were choshesh kol mashu bad legeresh yigaresh. So I'll just explain the let's with the Pnei Moshe again. So Amar Rav Acha, other Rabbi Ifchi Mistavra, the opposite is true. It must be there were choshesh. So zot omer shechashu, there were choshesh, right? Mishum, 1 second. Yes, sorry. Yeah, I was right. Zora met shechashu ba lifsol kuna. V'lefichat zrich leto amen. So we have to take it back. Why? Mishum denenin de kamaita kanato lifsol bo la kuna. V'ilav dahada v'shaki minei lo mahani amira shekvar zachta ba almanat tarishon. Which is beautiful. He takes the opposite approach. He says it must be that it has significance. Why? Because that's why they say have to take it back. Because when he gave it over, it had significance. That means the dibur that he said was binding. So therefore, it's all over. He can't. Therefore, he has to uproot that original dibur. Because in tema lo chashru, if he said there weren't choshesh for this sulkona, the lo have get me kara klal im ken kol mashe be lagesha shavsim be megarish v'amalar mutel lekol adam. Why does he take it back? And therefore, he has to undo, if you like, the original latina. Because it wasn't a good netina, impact the netina. That's why I say chashu. So it has, if you like, the opposite effect. Okay, Negmarna says. Those are two really I found difficult sugyas, but I think we got there. Like Mitzvah Shem. Gemara says, Amar Rav Zira, Tani Shila Barbina, Kol She'ilu B'tnai Almanat Psul, Kol She'ilu B'tnai Almanat, Kol She'nanul Almanat Psul. So any, this is a, simply put, this word Pnei Moshe, second explanation. Then anytime, any writing, that such a condition of almanah would be problematic. So too, if it's verbal, it will be the same case as well, like chutz miploni. Okay, fine. Now Gemara says, this is not halacha bet, sorry. Harei matel lekol adam el l'aba l'avicha l'chai l'achicha le'eved l'nochri l'kol mi she'ein in kedushin alav kasher. In other words, what if he says you're allowed to marry everyone except for people that there's no kedushin for those people individuals, like your father? Well, then that's completely fine. It's not considered a chisaron in the get. What about, however, mitul lo kol adam ela almana le kohen gadol grusha v'chutz le kohen hedyot mamzer v'tin Yisrael bat Yisrael le mamzer? What about if it's like you're mutar lo kol adam except for, let's say, this person's she's an almana from a previous marriage, she's a lamar kohen or a grusha v'chutz le hedyot, or let's say she was a divorcee, you're not allowed to marry a regular kohen or chalutza. In other words, all these miutim are now isur lavim That which, if she would get married, it would work. Kiddushin is tofes. Nonetheless, call me sheyesh alav kiddushin afilu b'aveira pasul. Now, in the situation, it's not considered shiur. It's not considered anything. Sorry, it is considered a shiur because since, despite the fact she'd been a naughty girl for doing it, since kiddushin is tofes, in those contexts, it's considered not a full kritut. If he says, except for those situations. Now, Gemara says, Gufut shall get, Haret Makor La'adam, the really body of the get, the critical piece is, you are mutar to marry anybody. Rabbi Hur Omer, V'dan dihave, it's actually the Girsu, I think of Mishnah's is Din, but it says V'dan, you'll see why in the Gemara in a minute. V'dan dihave, with this, if you like, you are, L'chiminai, Sefer Tereslun V'gershi, okay, this is to you, for me, is this a Sefer Kritut. A book of severance. I'm talking about the Iger and a contract, if you like, of that will send you away. A letter of severance, if you like, sending away. And Machli Mitzvah called the Kav di Yitzbi, which is basically through which you'll be able to marry anybody. The point, what he's adding is you have to make it clear that it's through the get that it's affecting that divorce. Okay. Now Gufa should get Shichrur as well. Hareat Bechurim, a get Shichrur, Hareat Latzmech. And also for a get Shichrur, fearing Eved or Shifra. So the Mara says now. Harei mutar lekol adam. Rav Acha amar kritut, meaning it's a sefer kritut, a doctor of sevens. Loit pisa Torah shem kritut ela erva shiyesh. So just to explain, I'll read the korbanet. It says, "Hachapirush get kritut." It's a Torah. The Torah refers to this as a get kritut. Loshach, what's a severing? What's a krita? Ela vashia haya mechubar bo is only something that was bound her to him, meaning that he was not allowing her to do. Let's put it that way. So therefore, relationships that she could have got married, but because of him due to marriage, she can't get married. Well, that's a separate kruta. That's a severance. Aval erva she'ein bavaya kruta v'omereti. But when it comes to like isur arayot, where it wasn't the marriage itself wasn't preventing her from doing it. Well, then she's really kruta in that situation. It was just the Torah. It's not in the context of marriage. You can't marry a nisarariot. That's the way he explains it. Okay. Amar of Mana. Bilichud de la amar vidin. Interestingly, the Yerushalmi says, when Rabbi Yehuda says, vidin, it says, vidan di have lichi menai. This one I'm giving it to you from me is a separate kritot. He says, you have to say vidan, but not vidin. Because din implies, with a yud, Korban Eda says, the mashma din usha gershech. It seems to be that only if it's din, mean halachically required of me, then you're of divorce, and that can be problematic. It's almost putting a t'nai within the get. So therefore, it's quite clear you have to say v'dan, not v'din. Okay. Ramana by habrushot, you are on your own. The question is for a get guru, for a get shichur, is that sufficient? You're just independent now. So I'm Ravana babun tzrich yomera. This is the second parish of the Korban Eda. He says. Tzrich shuma haret ben churim and hareat atzmech. Ben churim haret atzmecha, right? That he has to say both. You are free and to yourself, meaning we need both terminology, and then it brings a proof of the Mishnah. Manita ama hare aken shahare ben churim and hareat atzmech. That it seems to be that the terminology of the Mishnah includes both together, implying that both terminology is free, that you're free and you're independent. Which is kind of interesting because what it sounds like it's dealing with. I'm not sure if this is a. I've just it's what it sounds like. I haven't looked into it further, but it seems to be a combination of both the kinyan, if you like, isurim and kinyan mamon, the monetary thing that binds him, and the status, if you like, as being an eved. So both of them are being severed. You're ben churim and you're atzmech. There's no. There's, we're severing both elements. Now the Gemara says, let's do the Mishnah, and with that we stop. Shosha Gittin, oh, till tomorrow, Mr. Hashem. Shosha Gittin Psulim, we made reference to this before. There are three times together a pasul. However, the imne said, if she gets married based on such a get, the children from the second marriage are still going to be kasher, avlad kasher. Okay? So these are takanot de Rabbanan, if you like. So let's have a look. Get, ketav b'ketav yodol, it was written in his own handwriting, the meaning the husband wrote the get, and but there weren't any witnesses on the document. Okay? We'll have to open this up when we get to the Gemara, Mr. Hashem, tomorrow. It says, Yeshalav Edim. There are witnesses, ve'im bozman, we need a zman, because that was tachamim shum peor, if you remember, we discussed this in the past, but we'll discuss this more next year. Oh, it might have a tanyish bozman, ve'im bo ele erechad, there's only one witness. Elo shalakitim psulim, these are psulim, ve'im niset, if they get married, if you like, niset have like kasher. But we're going to have to open this up anyway. For example, already the Korban Eda says, ve'im bo ele erechad, means, be'gemar ha'farshta dechatav yodokai, afil hachi, ashmun lechilano. etc. But we'll open this next section, but I think we have to give it the proper focus. All right, Kol Tov, have a good day.
This orientation that you can make a Tanai, virtually any Tanai.
Yeah.
Well, could you do the same thing, say, for, I mean, if you accept, you could do it here in Girushim. Could you
Yeah.
do it like a Shichrur Eved? So I'm meshachrer otcha betanai she.
Almanat sure, presumably. But again, it has to be full kritut. And those, when it comes to like, you mushral kol adam except for so and so, well,
Or even if it's not kritut, I'm selling you this field al tanai, this condition.
yeah, it can, if it's financial, yeah, I assume so. I assume so.
Good.
All right, set a